Tech Head time, where we look at how the digital and analog worlds have been colliding. And they've been colliding quite a bit. My guest is cloud computing expert and guru of geekdom, Geordie Guy. Welcome to RN Drive.
Hello, hello.
Okay, so first, Geordie, the case of Theo Ayers. How do I pronounce his name?
That's Ayers, I believe.
Ayers, that's it. He's the Belgian backpacker, of course, missing in Byron Bay. And there's been this discussion around how to get his WhatsApp messages. Very heartbreaking, actually, his father saying that they want access to these WhatsApp messages. Tell me, why is this such a tricky one on a sort of technical level?
Well, I guess the short and not super technical answer is WhatsApp aren't likely to have his messages, or at least in a format where they can read them and help with the look for the missing person. WhatsApp is one of a handful of apps that people use on their phone to send each other messages, but the messages are scrambled up on your phone when they leave, and they're unscrambled on the other side when they get to the recipient. So WhatsApp can't really go digging through their computers and find any clues easily that they can use to help out find this missing young man.
Let's just hear from Laurent Ayers speaking to the press.
We know that Theo used WhatsApp the night he disappeared. We understand the politics about confidentiality and respect that. However, this is a question of providing assistance to a person in grave danger. It is vital that investigators get access to Theo's WhatsApp account without delay.
So if WhatsApp could help, is there a commercial risk here for them, or would it be seen as, you know, extreme circumstances? Because it certainly is extreme circumstances.
It is absolutely extreme circumstances. And I hope that Theo's found safely. But the risk to WhatsApp and other companies, remembering that WhatsApp's owned by Facebook, the risk commercially to these companies is if there's exceptions or they find a way of prying into those messages, it suddenly becomes a risk that it's possible for all sorts of other applications as well. I don't think many people would argue that this is important to find someone who's in grave danger, to quote the father there. But I think there'd be a lot of concern by users of the app if it was used for less grave danger purposes. For example, a few years ago, the Arab Spring, we know that apps that use encryption were really, really important to those political movements. And they can be used to shut down some of those things if they're open to law enforcement.
Okay, now, Geordie, your next story is the literal definition of PC gone mad, in that your PC will get mad at you for not delivering a PowerPoint presentation very well. Tell me about Microsoft's new PowerPoint coach.
I love this idea because don't tell my employer, but I'm terrible at giving presentations. So this upcoming feature in PowerPoint, in the rehearse mode where you can go through your slides, you'll get some feedback about how you went. And the feature will do things like call it out if you use and ah or basically, filler words. It'll call it out if you're just lazily reading off the slides, not really adding anything to the presentation. Even stuff around inclusive language. So instead of saying, say, fireman or policeman, it'll suggest maybe you should be saying firefighter or police officer. I'm really super excited about this because I'm awful at it. But it's also definitely something I think that will have a lot of wide appeal. I know kids as young as grade 2 now are being trained on giving presentations. So they're a school thing as well as a work thing. And I guess unless you're a radio presenter, it's a pretty important part of your life to be able to show things to people visually and do it well.
Thank you for giving us an exclusion, unless you're a radio presenter. We've become very clever as a species, sort of, but tech support staff are still called upon every day to come and fix it when, you know, someone's giving a presentation and they can't get their PowerPoint to display properly. Sorry, I always find it. It's the one thing that makes me laugh cry when people can't make it. I know that they're suffering, but it's always the same. I can't open my PowerPoint. It's laugh cry, right? Will the coach give pointers on how to plug a laptop into a projector?
It could be a little bit embarrassing. I hope so. I mean, even if it just tells me which of the 20 adapters I have in my bag to use, or hopefully it won't pop up something on the screen saying, actually, you left your presentation on your other computer.
1 minute for this. Let's see if you can do it. Washington, D.C., Deep Fakes Accountability Act. What is a deep fake and why is the U.S. trying to introduce laws about them?
Well, put simply, a deep fake is a way of putting someone's face on someone else's body in a video, very believably, not with a specially powerful or expensive computer and not really with that much software. So this obviously has a great potential to be abused. what the US is looking to do is put some rules around this. I'm not sure how successful it's going to be, because their approach is that you, if you generate a computer-generated video of something that didn't happen, maybe a friend of yours' face on someone else's body doing something they shouldn't have been, or something of President Trump saying something that he didn't say, then it should have a watermark warning that it's a fake video. So it's one of those laws that requires nefarious people to cooperate with the law. And also, it establishes some other things, such as a way of registering if you believe that you've been put in a video that you weren't actually in, as a way of putting on the public record that that isn't actually you and the videos are fake.
Geordie Guy, you nailed it. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much.